There are two sets of readings for the Feast of Pentecost. The Gospel for Mass yesterday evening has Jesus telling us that, as Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in me. It's a wonderful thing to think about. Rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in me. Now, Christ himself is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and he is the one who gives a gift, as he says in Revelation, from the spring of life-giving water, and he himself is that spring. But he wants to work in us and through us. He wants us to be the conduit by which he sends his graces to the world. And that's the whole point about us being brought into the body of Christ. We celebrated all of that at baptism, but at Easter time, didn't we? When we talked about the gift of baptism that comes from the sacrifice of Jesus, how we're washed clean by the blood of Christ, we're nourished by his body and blood, and set on fire with the Holy Spirit to purify us from sin, to enlighten our minds, and give us the courage to go forth and proclaim the gospel as the apostles did. All of this out of love. Christ has done this out of love, and he's asking us to have that great desire of love for him, just as he has a great desire in love for us, that we can live the gospel in everything that we do. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. And it's absolutely true. If you love somebody truly and deeply, you won't do anything on purpose to try to hurt that person or do anything against them. On the contrary, if you love somebody, you want to do nothing but good for that person. Same with Christ. He loves us and has done nothing but good. If we truly love him, we'll desire nothing but good and want to do nothing but good and be nothing but good, because Christ is good. And he has made us and refashioned us in the image which God the Father intended from the very beginning. And that's what we celebrate today, that great gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that God breathed into the dust of the earth at the beginning of time to create the first man and later the first woman in his divine image, an image that we lost because of our sinfulness and rebellion against God, but restored by the death and resurrection of the Son of God. And as he promised, I will send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, among you to remind you of everything that I taught you, to be filled once again with wisdom and knowledge, to become that great river from which I will flow through you, to bring life, to bring salvation to the world. If you do not love me and do not keep my words, then the words you hear is not mine. But if you do love me and keep my words, then the words you hear is mine. And more than that, the will and the word of the Father who sent me. Now, sometimes we tend to live only according to nature. People like to use that excuse all the time. Well, I do the things that I do because it's a natural thing to do. Fair enough. But we tend to forget that nature is not as God intended it to be. Nature's been tainted by original sin, and we see things happen in nature that simply should not be. For example, it's natural for animals to tear each other to pieces and kill one another over food or over territory. That's natural. It's natural for a female animal to devour her young. Very natural. But you wouldn't want to see these things happening in human beings, would you? No, and we should not. Because God has made us to be above the animals. We're above mere nature. In fact, we are supernatural, which is exactly what that means. Above all these things, like God, given wisdom, given knowledge, given intelligence and reason, given the capacity for free will and unconditional love. But we turn away from God and we become less than God. We turn away from God and we become like the animals and become nothing but brutes. But the Lord wanted to save us from that. Called to be supernatural means we're filled with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of wisdom to act like Christ. Not to find ourselves in sin, but to find ourselves in grace. Not committing evil, but doing good. Not becoming depraved, but becoming filled with what God himself is. Ultimate goodness. Going back to being merely natural is what St. Paul talks about in the second option that we have for Mass today. In his letter to the Romans, where St. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The responsorial psalm tells us, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord be glad in his works. Pleasing him, pleasing God will be my theme. That's what I'm created for. I will be glad in the Lord. If we're not pleasing the Lord, we're not going to be glad. If you are not in the flesh, and on the contrary, you're not, but yet in the Spirit, you are in the Spirit if the Spirit of God, not the spirit of evil, dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, and as Christians we can say that he certainly should be, although this body of ours is already dead because of sin, the Spirit, what makes us who we are, is alive because of him who was risen from the dead. Alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also. Makes sense. That's why we're alive. It's because God has made us live. Our bodies will die, but our spirit moves on to be with the Lord until he comes again to reunite body and soul. But think about the world. How the world itself is dead without the Spirit of Christ. How the world would be so much darker without the presence of Christians who bring the light of Christ to a world that mires itself in sin. The one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Consequently, brothers and sisters, we owe nothing to the flesh. We owe nothing to this world. We owe everything to God. We're not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If you live according to the flesh and the flesh only, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption through whom we cry out to God, Abba, Father. God looks at us and he sees the things that we do so many times, and he says, I did not create you for that. I created you in my own image and likeness to be a person of love, to be a person of faith, to be a person of hope. I've given you the fullness of the Holy Spirit so that you can be a person who is living by that same Spirit, that Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, the Spirit of strength, of fortitude, of courage, of piety, of reverence. I've given you the wisdom of the saints, not to go back and be a brute animal, but to be a divine son, a divine daughter of mine, to be a saint. To be a saint. But is that what our world does? No. It takes sin and it codifies it and makes evil good and makes good evil and turns everything upside down and inside out. For example, in our nation, it's because of a right to privacy, those are their words, a right to privacy that a woman can kill an unborn child growing inside her womb because she has a right to privacy. But if your daughter wants to use a restroom in a public school, she does not have a right to privacy because a boy who thinks he's a girl can waltz right on in and nobody can tell him anything about that. And that's now federal law. Can you see how things have gotten screwed up? This is not the Spirit of God. This is the spirit of evil. So instead of helping people who are confused, and we see this all the time with transgender people, homosexuals, and so on, instead of helping them to live a life of holiness and grace and to move aside from confusion and psychosis, what do? We relish it. We relish it and say, this stuff is good, and it's not. And we have done no good to the person who suffers, trapped in his or her own body, in their own deficiencies, in their own selfishness. That's true of that and every other sin that human beings can commit. We're not helping people to live a life of holiness and of grace and of freedom. Instead, we enslave them and enslave ourselves. Anytime, the laws of human beings contradict the laws of God, we're obliged to follow the law of Christ, the law of God, every time. Man is nothing before God. Kind of put it this way, human beings doing this and basically like sticking the finger at God is tantamount to an ant sticking the finger at you or me, okay? What do? You smash the ant. What does God do? Same thing. He will allow our sinfulness to devour us. He will allow our sinfulness to devour us and destroy us. Left to ourselves, we are capable of nothing but death and destruction. And Jesus warns us over and over again, apart from me, you can do nothing, but with me, all things are possible. So what kind of a river are we allowing to flow from us into the world? Is it a river that is fresh and pure, clean and sweet? Or is it filled with pollution, filled with all kinds of corruption, just nothing but drudge to fill the earth and kill it? The choice is ours. Are we united to Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, that love exchange between the Father and Son that draws us into His very life? Or are we filled with the spirit of evil and the world that seeks only to bring destruction, death, and darkness, and despair? Brothers and sisters, those in the flesh cannot please God. You are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. And the Spirit of God must dwell in you. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He has given us all individual gifts to work together to bring the presence of God into a world that does not know Him, does not understand Him, but desires Him and needs Him more than anything else. We pray for ourselves. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. We pray for the world. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
the Spirit may come to the aid of our weakness, interceding for us in our prayer according to God's loving will. Let us pray to the Lord. That the Father may give us the wisdom and insight to understand the fullness of the Lord, who fills the universe at every level, yet comes so humbly into our hearts in this Eucharist. Let us pray to the Lord. That our communion with Jesus in this holy sacrifice may intensify the presence of His Spirit in our hearts and spread all around us the sweet fragrance of His gifts and fruits in our lives. Let us pray to the Lord. That the Spirit may be anointing of comfort to the sorrowful, healing to the sick, calm to the anxious, forgiveness to sinners, and refreshment to us all on our pilgrim way. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pause now and present our own personal intentions to Jesus in the silence of our heart. Let us pray to the Lord.
Thank you. sacrifice and endure to be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father. Sacrifices, praise, we offer